Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always...
It's Ben Vanell here, Tommy, and with us as always...
It's Adam Knox here, Tommy, and with us as always...
It's the light at the end of the tunnel. We were just talking before, boys, about the end of lockdown coming. We're not going to have to do too many more of these over the goddamn internet.
Man. Yep. Yep. I'm so excited to never have to look at a screen again.
Yep.
I'm going to go
I'm throwing my computer out the window.
And if only there was some way I could still play a video game whilst not having to look completely at a screen. If only there was some way to combine real life objects and a video game. But unfortunately, there's not.
No.
Anyway, that'll
there
be
kind
later.
Of really isn't.
No, true. You're looking at a screen the whole time.
Yeah. That was my initial thought is like, well,
yeah,
VR.
You can't really look at the real world component.
Imagine if my review of it was like, I hate it. I'm so confused. I'm looking at the car the whole time, but the other cars aren't popping up. I'm so excited to be back in real life again. Real life.
Oh, man. I've been... look, it's not really relevant to video games, but I've been just... The mood has changed almost immediately this week. It's just like having something on the horizon that's not just sitting in the fucking house for the first time in four goddamn months has just like I woke up on Monday morning just in a different mood. Like it felt weird. Like I just felt different for the first time in since July.
Have you ever seen those videos of like when, you know, there's a bunch of cows in a barn who are stuck in there because they're milking cows or whatever?
But yeah, I love those videos.
And they,
next topic.
They let all the cows out and they start bounding around in the grass, those videos.
Oh, yes.
Well,
yeah.
In a couple of weeks' time, I am never going to watch a video of that or anything ever again because I'm going full wilderness and never looking at a screen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Me and my friends were talking about the idea of trying to book in for a session at the pub at 11:59 p.m. Like right on midnight. And then just we're there 3 days before camping out like it's a new Star Wars movie. Just like wearing T-shirts with pictures of schooners on them. Just like ready to go. I need to be the first in the city to fucking strong arm a pint.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I don't want any spoilers. No one tell me what it tastes like.
Instead of dressing up like Princess Leia with the buns, you've got the hat with the beer cans on the side. Yes.
Holding a big beer bomb lightsaber.
So what we're trying to say is fuck off PlayStation 5. Suck our dicks, Cyberpunk. Sorry if you guys are looking forward to hearing reviews of those things in a couple of months, but you're not going to get them.
Yeah.
It's going to be us just reviewing the experience of frolicking down the street.
That's right.
Hugging our mates, kissing randoms. That's all you're getting until fucking February at least.
It's more likely that the week after it'll be a review of like, oh, I got bitten by a leech. I went and swam in a creek to reconnect with nature and I lost some blood. I've got Lyme disease from ticks in the field I lay in.
No, it'll be reviews of having beers with the boys.
Oh, yes.
It is a bizarre feeling to be coming out of this lockdown and know that 8 days later, I'm going to fucking hunker right back down again with a PS5 and then Cyberpunk. I feel like
I know.
Yeah.
But we'll get there when we get there.
Mm.
Yeah. exactly.
And also that, the PS5 and Cyberpunk probably won't show up at my house for another couple of weeks because the post will still be fucked. So that'll give us a little bit of breathing room.
Exactly.
I actually haven't even pre-ordered it yet. I haven't decided what I'm going to play it on. I'm starting to think PC because of my... I'm moving house on the weekend and I'll be sharing my living space, but the PC will be in an office. So it's, I almost feel like, you know, I'm going to be so into it that I need to be able to go to a separate room to play it.
You can't play it in the living room if it's a shared living space.
I know.
You can't post a goodbye girlfriend status.
Oh, man. Also, like, yeah, you're moving in with your partner and it's like, this is just a devastating turn of events to be happening like 1 week or so after you've moved in. It's like,
beginning
of the end in less than a month.
He thinks he's a robot.
I haven't even told her that I like video games yet, so see how it goes.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
You're fucked, bro.
But yeah, I am excited for Cyberpunk. I'm probably going to, sink a lot of hours into it. It coming out in November, I've been thinking about Game of the Year stuff. I don't know about you guys, if you've been thinking about where you're going to be ranking things and that episode coming up at the end of the year, but it's been a fucking good year for games. I think we've said this a couple of times, but despite everything, it's been a good gaming year.
It's crazy, right, to think that stuff still actually managed to come out. I remember, like, during that first lockdown and being like, oh, I can't believe The Last of Us got pushed back 2 months.
Yeah.
Now realizing, like, oh, wait, this is all fucked and it's crazy that it came out at all or that anyone ever makes them at any point ever.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that we played Kentucky Route Zero in a normal world during this year, I think we played that complete edition in, like, February.
January, like, I think that came out.
Very start of the year, early on.
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, not only that, like, there hasn't been... Yeah, there hasn't been, I would say, a ton of stuff kind of in between the big stuff, but the big stuff that's come out has been huge. Like, some of the biggest things of, you know, not all time, but certainly of recent memory, and also a lot of things that had been on the boil for a very long time that we've been hearing about for years and years and years and years. The fact that they've kind of all landed in this 1 year and all still hit this same year. They have all been pushed back by a couple of months, but by and large, the fact that they came out at all is pretty incredible.
Yeah. And like you're right. There have been like those periods where for weeks at a time, I'm like, there's nothing coming out that I really give a shit about. But those big moments, they'll live with you forever.
Yeah, a bit of a dry spell in the middle of the year, but I feel like that's
kind
of...
You're fucking telling me, brother. Try.
But I feel like that's kind of the case. Isn't that sort of the case most years where it's like it now is, you know, the time that stuff ramps up anyway because it's getting into holidays in the States, and I feel like stuff doesn't tend to come out as much in the summer months for over there.
Compare this year to 2013, I reckon it's so similar because there are a bunch of really big hitters that came out in 2013, including The Last of Us in like the same month, I think, but 7 years ago. And then the new consoles launched without really any launch games that anyone cared about at the end of that year. Like, we've repeated that exact cycle. So if that's what's going on, then 2022 is going to be fucking awesome because that's when like The Witcher 3 and Bloodborne and stuff came out.
Oh,
and if we're just on that perpetual loop until we die, whatever, dude, strap me in.
Yeah. I guess that's how much time a developer needs to develop a flagship title or a AAA title for a new console, right? That's a couple of years coming to grips with it.
As we've said, you know, who knows, you know, games this year in the big year of COVID didn't get affected with the release because they, you know, really didn't need to. But probably what has been affected is stuff a year from now, 2 years from now, where the stuff that's more actively in development at the moment is probably, you know, we won't really see the effects of this on games for another year.
Well, here's an idea for the video games industry. Just tell your employees to work harder. I don't know if that's something they could consider. Just work harder and for longer.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, you don't have COVID, but you do have work ethic disease. Interesting.
Didn't you send something to the chat, Ben, during the week that someone had was it an ex CD Projekt Red employee
blowing
the whistle on some crunch? And it really feels like, I don't know, at this point, it's a tough time to be coming out with any kind of crunch concern. It really feels like we've heard it a million times and it's like, what do you do? It feels like people on the whole don't really give too much of a fuck about that as a story anymore.
I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah, they do, and it depends at what angle you're coming at it from, because I think we've had a similar conversation before where, like, every creative pursuit we've ever been involved in has been torturous, and that is seemingly just the process. But every workplace that I think any of us have ever worked for, you know, traditional workplace, you should leave at 5. You know what I mean? Like, I think all of us are of the opinion that, like, a union isn't a bad idea and workers' rights are important. I don't know. It's fucking... Because they always come out with those things of, like, like, all of our employees are on the same page and we all want to push to make this thing come out and be the best product that it can be. And I'm sure that 95% of them probably are, because that's how you get with creative pursuits that you're interested in. Doesn't mean it's right, but that's probably true. But those 5% who aren't and who are being dragged along by the obligation of the others, it does fucking suck for them. But I don't know.
Yeah, I think gaming in some ways, not for every job, every position, it's similar to, say, like the film industry. Like, and we know people who work in those industries where it's a contract system where you will work for 4 months at very good pay and then you will be fired, essentially. You know, your contract will end and you won't work for a while. But... you know, the hours you put in during that time, you get paid for. And I know that that's the case for a lot of gaming development companies as well. Now, maybe America has worse fair work laws than other countries. I think that's probably fair to assume. But a lot of the European developers have better workplace regulations than even in Australia. And CD Projekt Red is a Polish company who apparently has extremely good sort of union regulation and stuff like that. So, I mean, asking people to work 6 days a week for a month is going to be grueling and exhausting regardless of if you're getting paid for it. But yeah, I think it is almost at the point of, like, well, I don't know how to fix it and I don't know that anyone does.
I mean, I don't want to sound like a hard ass, but, like, you know, if I got...
I don't want to sound like a hard ass, but fuck those people and everything they're complaining about.
Yeah, those little worms should be appreciative of the work they have.
I don't want to sound like a hard ass, but my ass is made out of titanium.
If I got an offer to move to LA and work at Pixar, I wouldn't be going over there thinking, like, oh, this is going to be awesome. I'll be working at Pixar. I'll be out the door at 5 p.m. every night. Sure, I'll be able to, like, socialize and hit the bars. I'd be over there going, like, yep, you know, this is what I want to do. I'm interested in this as an art form, and this is the peak of it. And if I want to work for this world-renowned, arguably the best in their field at what they do, the trade-off is I am going to have to sacrifice a lot of personal time. And if that's that important to me, then I probably need to reevaluate whether I say yes to that offer.
That's realistic.
I want to mimic John Lasseter's life in every way, his social life and his professional life.
That thing of, like, hey, I should expect...
I had to Google his name.
The thing of saying, oh, what came up? Anyway, the thing of, like, having to expect that you'll need to, you know, put lots of hours in or whatever is realistic, but it doesn't mean it's right. And, like,
no, of course, of course.
That's the thing is that it comes creepily close to me of the arguments that people use where they're like, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, why do you care about being spied on? And that sort of stuff where it's like, you know, we're doing the wrong thing, but this is the norm. I don't think you can argue against it.
It's a societal problem, but it is, like, I guess it's like reading the, you know, accounts and the reports again and again and again. At a certain point, it's like, oh yeah, I'm blowing the whistle on the fact that, you know, petrol's gotten more expensive. It's like, it's not good. It's not great. No one likes paying more for things like that. But yeah, we're just all across the fact that that's the way it works. And what's going to change it? I don't think anything really can at this point.
Oil prices are also a conspiracy.
Sucks,
Yeah, that's true. But
it's interesting you bring up having your privacy violated systematically and institutionally, Knox.
Yeah.
Because this week we're gonna. Do we have any other news stories we want to talk about before we get to the Facebook-owned Oculus company?
One of them is about that.
Yes.
The Facebook head of VR. I forget his name off the top of my head, but he was doing like a Q&A thing on Instagram. And people were asking him about, like, the relationship between needing a Facebook account and using the Quest 2. Mm-hmm. And he was like, make sure your Facebook account's in good standing and we don't have a problem. And I don't know, man. He tried to make the comparison of, like, Microsoft and Sony require you to have an account, but all you need for an account with them is an email address, which is free, mm-hmm. and you can set up a million of them. Facebook accounts require you to... And the ones that they want you to have for Oculus or they will disable it, like basically require identity verification, which is a completely different thing.
Yes, either you've had a Facebook account for 10 years, like I think we probably have, and you use it regularly and you have friends and photos and shit, and it's verified in that way. Or, yeah, you make a new account. Some people in some countries are saying they have to show a photo of their driver's license and stuff like that to verify these accounts.
There are reports of people who've bought a Quest, didn't have a Facebook account, set one up for this, had the Facebook account disabled because they didn't have enough activity and friends and stuff on it. So, like, what the fuck are you meant to do if you just want to get this thing and don't want to be active with a Facebook account? You're fucked, it sounds like. Which is a big blotch on the Quest 2 review thing, I reckon.
Yeah, I think I probably sit in the exact same moral and intellectual position as that topic we were talking about before. It happens to not impact me. Like, I happened to be in the right position for it to be fine and not, like, not have a negative impact on my experience. But, you know, ethically, I don't agree with it.
I believe the word we're looking for in both those circumstances is, I think it rhymes with divilege.
Yeah,
can't remember what
the
it
problem
is
with
exactly.
it too is the fact that like it's the way it's branded and everything too. Like you could conceivably very easily purchase an Oculus Quest, not knowing that it's owned by Facebook.
That's
true. That they are essentially Facebook. Like given like I kind of feel like given the fact that it is, you know, they are the people making it. It's like, well, yeah, fair enough. They want to drive you onto their service. Of course, it should be. It's probably reasonable in that sense to think that it's, you know, linked to their service because that, you know, it's their thing.
Right.
But, if it was being sold as Facebook's Oculus or Facebook VR or, you know, whatever you want to call it, then probably the average consumer who doesn't have a Facebook account would be able to look into it a bit more and go, oh, that sounds a bit sus to me. I better steer clear. But, yeah, the fact that you could buy it and then not learn all that until... you're there setting it up, trying to log in, and then you can't. Like, then that's when I think it really becomes a problem.
Or even worse.
A needless problem. Like
when they delete your account for unrelated reasons and through no breaking of the terms of service of the actual product that you bought, other than the fact that, you know, you didn't engage properly with this other platform that you weren't getting it for. I don't know. It's a lot different to every other form of digital store, and
it also seems weird in the sense that you would think that that would be getting in the way of them being able to sell more of these things.
It means that's enough of a turnoff though.
It would be hindering them. Like
you know that saying of like if something's free, then it's not the product you are. You know what I mean? That's what this is. They're selling them quite cheaply. They're easy to get. And it's clearly for them to link it this hard, the main business model is to get more people on Facebook or to tie them into it harder or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah.
I think like Facebook is an ad and data model. And I mean, it just is weird that it's a social network that is the thing. Like anything else, I don't know. Like I can't think of it... You know, but like the fact that it's a social network that is the thing that you have to have, like a profile on this thing where it's like, and then to have to be active on it, it's like, what are you asking of people? Like just to buy a VR and use a VR headset, you have to then be active on a social networking platform. It just doesn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Like functionally, yeah. It doesn't seem fair. Like it seems like a time commitment more than anything.
If you want to pretend to go rock climbing, you have to be tethered into this thing where your auntie can share racist photos with you.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Okay?
So you cannot have one without the other.
Yeah.
Here's the other part of it too. I don't know if this exists yet, but 100,000% it will. Mm. Whenever there is a product that requires something that people don't like, people find a way around it. And so what would be the more likely thing to happen, from my perspective, is that people would still be interested in the hardware. Someone will release some kind of patch or mod or whatever to get around all of this, and then you pirate all your fucking VR games, you know?
Jailbreak it, bro.
Yeah, which when the reason that you're doing that is because you are avoiding something that is pretty unquestionably morally dubious, at least.
Mm.
Then the act of doing something, I'm saying two wrongs make a right.
Yes, always.
That's what I'm saying.
That's how maths works. It's how VR works.
Well, if he hit you, son, you just hit him right back.
Do we want to talk about the 2K thing? Because I feel like we can just dive straight into a very big VR discussion.
Yeah, I mean, this all sounds like a pretty fucking dodgy business model and pretty morally reprehensible in a lot of ways. So I bought one last week almost immediately after we turned the mics off and stopped recording. So.
Yeah. Yep. Pretty much straight away I got a message. I've gone in.
let's talk about the 2K thing and then we can loop back to...
Yeah.
Well, speaking of morally dubious business practices.
Man, it's crazy. Yeah, this is all like just people being fucking crook. But our response to all of them is like, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm not
in taking the absolute piss week here in the video games industry.
Yes. NBA 2K21. So NBA 2K20 was pretty shit. It introduced a lot of progress gating and pay-to-win stuff. And shitty tie-ins and stuff like that. It really, you know, it became an EA-ish product, which it was supposed to be the alternative to.
Are these how are these so popular? Because they're very popular. Are they only thing that has the NBA license?
No, EA NBA Live has existed in parallel to NBA 2K for the past, 20 years.
And so NBA Live is presumably even worse than the series that is like pay to win, and then this year we'll show you full length commercials during loading screens.
Well, 2K was not pay to win up until recently. People really had a negative reaction to the last one. Until recently, it was genuinely a better experience. It was better graphics, better controls, more depth. The EA ones were the EA ones, like they were the same as Madden and stuff like that. Not terrible, but. This was always the better one, and now EA took a year off, and 2K, they're putting unskippable, like almost full screen ads into their loading screens.
They look like they're the same or similar ads that will play like if you watch something on Twitch for like the 15-second kind of ads that pop up there. They're of a similar ilk to me. They're full on. it's a fucking TV commercial playing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in a
bizarre.
Full-priced game as well. It's worth pointing out that this is a full-priced retail game. It's not a free-to-play thing. Like, that would kind of... If the model was that it's, hey, 2K21's free now, but there's ads, or that's an option, that could be cool.
Yeah.
That's very common. Yeah, there's heaps of apps that do that. Like, you can get it for free, but you've frequently got to sit through a, 20-second video for Clash of Clans or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a bit like back in the 90s getting pay TV, and my dad turning it on, and the first thing that we saw on it on our TV was an ad, and dad just goes, what the fuck is it like in making people pay for this service that then you've got all these fucking commercials in anyway? It's like, this is some bullshit, man. How did they get away with this?
Sports games are in a lucky position where they can put advertising in their games and that is simulating the experience of looking at an arena or whatever.
Right, right.
100%. Yeah, they do. Like those round the grounds LEDs and shit, they actually put ads in them.
And like,
right, they already get to do that.
Exactly. Yeah. And no one complains because they're simulating a real place that has those things. Same with racing games who have those billboards that say fucking Pepsi or whatever on them. But then to take your time away from you, especially the year that consoles whose whole thing is like, guess what? Fuck loading. We're going to be quick now.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, maybe these are only going to appear for half a second on the PS5.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's also, like it just sets such a bad precedent. Like,
100%.
You know, it's always like, you know, this isn't a thing where you can just go, well, I wasn't planning to play the game, so like, who cares? Like, if they get away with this and people still cop it, then, because they already get to, like you said, have advertising natively, organically inserted into the game itself anyway. But a company that's making a game that doesn't have that, like just a shooter or whatever, starts to go, oh, okay, yeah, people just cop this and it's just a loading screen anyway, so let's get some Macca's bullshit up there while the map's loading.
I mean, I could certainly see it happening with the Fortnites of the world and stuff, but again, that's free to play, so it's a different situation over there. There have been cases where, like, I remember, you know, Alan Wake? There was an Energizer sponsorship, or was it Duracell? Look how effective it fucking was. It was one of the two big competitors of batteries. And it just, product placement stands out really noticeably for some reason in video games, just because, like, A, it's not as common as in films and stuff, but B, you're kind of looking at it more often. You're seeing it there. There was the iPod in Metal Gear Solid 4 that was like, what the fuck are you doing here? And they're like the little Japanese calorie mate snacks and all that stuff.
Remember when they put those Mercedes cars into Mario Kart 8?
Yes.
It was like, what the fuck is this?
I mean, we've talked about the Monster Energy tie into Death Stranding every week of the podcast.
So
And it's that interactivity, right? Like that burns it into your brain. It's a process of actions that you're doing, whether it's just looking or whether it is drinking a can of it. It must be so much more effective. But this is a dog move. It's like if Netflix started putting in, you know, like 15-second unskippable ads before TV shows. Like, fucking, we pay for this. So
And like they're annoying on SBS on demand, and that is free.
Yeah, totally.
But again, there's already such a precedent for it. If it's sneaking into games, like I said, pay TV, you know, it literally did just used to, well, and still does, but like when pay TV first launched and no one really, I mean, people batted an eyelid, but they just copped it.
But it didn't have ads
initially.
It's kind
of shocking to me that Netflix doesn't. You're right. You're
right. Most pay TV things, same as Netflix and shit, didn't have ads initially.
Yeah.
And like with the streaming services, this is different to video games, but they have started to progress more and more where, like, if you're paying for four of them, you're paying the same amount as, like, an old cable subscription. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, there'll come a day where they do start whacking ads in for... I mean, YouTube, you know, when it came into YouTube, it was like, oh, what are they doing?
Yeah.
But, and now it's, like, the most... You just factor it in, like, okay, someone sent me this link. I want to watch it. I've got a good minute and a half to just kind of fuck around with another tab open before the video actually starts playing, sit through an ad for Hungry Jack's.
Or you get an ad blocker. Or you pay for YouTube Premium with a fake email that's from India and you pay in rupees and it's a lot cheaper than it is in Australia. It's about $2 Australian every month. Hypothetically.
Woo! Yes. Woo! BollywoodKnox@gmail.in or whatever the
it's Bollywood Hulk Hogan is the email.
Bollywood Bulk Bug, that could be a character.
Yep.
that we could debut
real
at our
beefy,
next live
rough
show.
Guy. It's dodgy. Heaps of companies are dodgy. I'm going to ignore it because the apocalypse is 30 years away.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
No, I'm not ignoring it, but I don't know how. Yeah, like fucking labor laws are way above our head. What are you kidding?
That's
coming
a
to
good
this
point,
podcast
though, like
labor laws? Get out of here.
It's hard to really care about what's being advertised on the billboard when right behind it you can see a gigantic mushroom cloud just taking up most of the eyeline.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like if a nuclear bomb has a fucking Coca-Cola logo on the side of it, you're not going like, ugh.
Yeah.
But you might.
Yeah.
The goal.
That would just, the that would be redemption. The worst political cartoon.
Yes. Like,
what's even your point here? There's nothing. Are you just saying that war and advertising both exist? Fuck off. Talk about labor laws. Anyway, you won't get that from us. You'll get labored guffaws.
Mm-hmm. The only labor laws I'm concerned about are Dan Andrews' restrictive lockdown. He's applied to Melbourne. Dictator Dan, hashtag sack Dan.
The only labor laws I care about is it's illegal to give birth in the middle of a freeway.
Oh. And you care about that law in what way?
I don't want my freeways blocked up.
Okay, so you're all for it. All right. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
You know what I just realized? We do have auto-generated like audio ads inserted into the middle of this show by
I know exactly
a program
where
run
I'm
by
the
hosting company that we're with. So I almost definitely during the week we will receive a clip that someone has taken off their phone of us going, fuck this, and then an ad for a bloody pube trimmer coming in.
I mean,
and someone posting going, good one, boys.
Again, this is a free podcast, though. And we've been consistent that if it's free, advertising makes sense. And in essence, all creative pursuits are simply vehicles for advertisers of actual products. That's what I've come to learn from trying to pursue a creative career to the detriment of my life.
Yes, you are the content between ads.
Exactly. Yeah. Or as the advertisers call me, the scum between their toes. They use the word between still, but I think that's what they mean with it.
Anyway, I listen to Filthy Casuals, patreon.com, Filthy Casuals pod. No ads. Listener supported.
Yeah.
That's the alternative.
Yep.
That's the NBA 2K20 where it's pay to win. And this is the NBA 2K21 version of the show.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. Let's move on to some stuff we've been playing this week. Do you want to talk about something that we've all spent a little bit of time with? Not quite a game, sort of a game, more of a toy, tech novelty, the Mario Kart Live Home Circuit, which came out last week. It's a little toy Mario Kart with a camera on the back. You drive it around your house. You make a little track in your living room. And then it puts a whole bunch of crazy AR Mario Kart bullshit around your house.
How does not a girl, not yet a woman go?
I don't know.
Well, that song, but it's not a game, and that you get not, it. Not yeah, yet yeah, a yeah, yeah, not yet yeah, okay. a toy.
Yeah. Or the you other way around.
Pause this.
You can go. Yeah,
guys,
go to like
this.
A karaoke
go
version.
Go listen. Yeah,
of
yeah,
that
yeah.
show, of that song, mm-hmm. so you can sing along to it, yep. chuck in those lyrics, alter them a little bit so they fit, come back to us and say, you know what, that was a good concept, Adam. You didn't
good
execute
stuff.
On it,
yep.
but that's okay. Yeah. It's not always yeah. about yep. the landing. Sometimes it's just about the flight. And if we crash at the end, hey, I had a good meal.
That's great. Do you think there's anyone who's ever been on a flight that's crashed and they're, as they realize that they're doomed, they're just going, you know what? The food was actually pretty good, and I watched a couple of good movies.
Yeah.
I can't be all that bad.
I'm glad
really.
I saw Pitch Perfect 3 before the end.
It really wouldn't be fair for me to be angry about this flight crashing, given that the actual botched landing only accounts for about 5% of the overall journey.
Yeah. I posted a photo of myself going on this holiday with the caption, it's about the destination, or it's about the journey, not the destination. I have to hold myself to some standards.
The journey was good.
Me, a glass
even if the destination, kind of even if the destination is the side of a mountain, the journey was still what it was. That's the point.
Exactly.
And I've learned a lot. For example, I'm going to die. I learned that on this trip.
Yeah. I sort of knew that in the back of my head my entire life, but now I know it for sure.
It's one of those things where you get told, but you don't learn it until it's there, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Learn by doing is the best approach. Anyway, mail in on that riff. We're going to do it once a week. You get to have your say.
Yeah.
Speaking of crashing into things, I've been driving this little green cart around my living room. And
wait a minute.
Yeah, so
wait a minute. You said You said green?
Mm.
Now, that leads me to deduce that you got a little Luigi.
Huh. You know, I'm
Ben.
Just before you jump in, Tommy, I've got a little bit of detective instincts jumping in too. Mm, you said you bought a green car.
Mm.
That's interesting because I'm starting to figure out that means you're a little bitch. is that true?
No, you're both wrong. I got the Slimer from Ghostbusters edition. It's
okay.
It was a day one limited edition.
Mm.
Funko Pop X Nintendo. It's Slimer and he's got those big dots for eyes.
Yep.
Looks really cool. Rounded edges, no angles whatsoever. Mm.
Luigi. I got the Mario one because I'm an alpha.
I wanted to mix it up. I wanted to mix it up. I don't quite know why, but we've all been using this. We all, I think, were skeptical about the kind of room that we would have in our respective houses for something like this. And personally, I was pleasantly surprised that I was able to get it to work at all in my house.
Mm.
I can just about get away with it. I reckon I'm right on the cusp of being able to have a decent enough time with it in my house. Sure.
And now, enough about your penis and tell us about the Mario Kart.
Also called Slimer. I would probably have enough room were I not, as I mentioned before, moving house in a few days. There's boxes everywhere. I reckon I could have probably, moved some chairs and set up a course. But yeah, kind of fucked at the moment. I've been playing around. I got a Mario. I've been just driving around, and that I think is the coolest aspect of it. Like just the pure functionality, the fact that it works perfectly. I was so surprised. It's just plug and play. Great little camera on the cart itself. The cart looks cool. Like it's the kind of thing you might have bought as like a little figurine and popped on your mantle. Like it looks surprisingly good.
Quite solid too, which is good because like you'll be crashing it a bit, I assume, because like it got delivered today and I've only had enough time to stick it on charge. But the size is good from what I, because I was unsure. We all live in quite small apartments for reference. Yeah. And yeah, by the way, did we even explain what this was for people who missed the announcement of it?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it's quite short, which is great. So you can drive it underneath the average couch. You can have it go weave in and out of whatever you've got. I am looking forward to messing around with it.
Yeah, I was skeptical about how this would work in terms of translating the very cartoon-like physics of a Mario Kart game into something that has to exist in a physical space and has to adhere to, you know, being able to turn a real world thing. But yeah, it's small and its turning is sharp enough that when you're driving it around and you're seeing your living room on the screen, it is very easy to forget that you are actually actually controlling something that is also moving around 100%. In the real world. I found it easy to forget that this thing is. And so I've set up a course where the last bit of it is a little loop around the footrest thing that I have in front of the TV. And so when it's at the back of the room, like, you know, I forget and then it, you know, it comes hooning around like right in front of my legs. I'm like, oh, fuck, that's right. Yeah, this is actually in the this is actually driving around as I'm controlling it. It's a really cool feeling.
Yeah. I've been playing it on handheld mode again because, like nothing's connected to anything. And that's cool. Like, I know, I think, was it you, Tommy, was saying about your track or maybe one of our mates? It was getting, the cart was getting a little far from the controller and the Nintendo and it's sort of like, it taps out, you know, you can't go a certain distance. Mm. But even just like me fucking around in my house without a course set up, I can just sort of like follow it around kind of, you know, like it's just you have a controller for an RC car. But yeah, the controls are crazy. Like it is... For something that is this wireless thing even, it's just one-to-one. It's like, I'm so surprised at how well it works, which sounds dumb, but for this kind of thing, which is pretty new tech-wise, I'm shocked at how smooth and polished it is. I'm surprised.
It's definitely, it's better on hard floor than it is on carpet. Like my... my apartment is like, the living room is like half hard floor and then half carpet. And so I'd bought one already, and then Nintendo at the last minute sent me one, and you hadn't ordered one, Ben. So I took the one that got mailed to me, I took it round to you.
Mm.
And as I was dropping it to you, I was in the street outside your house, and you had the door open, and I was just peeking in, just getting a look at that floor, because I'd already used mine a bit, going, oh, that's going to be good. Yeah, look at that.
Well, yeah, I have
nice
tiled
hard
floors.
Floor in, ooh, that. Yes. Just getting really jealous, like, oh, yeah, that's the stuff.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Have either of you experimented yet with, like, ramps, with obstacles, anything like that?
I have not. From what I understand from reading about it online, it's not very good on ramps.
Okay,
I think they recommend you to not do that.
It does say very much like, I think it says specifically, this is an indoor only thing.
Yeah, don't take it outside, which is a big shame.
You know, it isn't rugged, but if you crash it into a chair, it doesn't look like it's going to break. And
yeah, I've crashed into a bunch of chairs, but again, my fault. This is not a controlling issue and there's no lag or anything. It's just like, oh yeah, if you drive a car, a remote control... Like, I used to crash remote control cars into a bunch of shit. I don't know about you guys.
Damn.
I used to have a big outdoor one, a big chunky one, and like, yeah, half the fun was flipping it off stuff and, you know, smashing it into bushes and stuff like that.
Well, and they built them to be like that as well, right? Do you remember that one that you could flip it up upside down either way? It had wheels.
I believe that's the one I had, yeah.
Those were fucking dope.
So cool.
I don't think I ever had one. Only the rich fuckheads had them.
So you set up your course and then you can do...
There's
you've
little
got
cardboard,
a whole bunch of...
by the way, to set up the course. It's like cardboard gates. Like, you know, like a go over a F1 racetrack type of thing. And you design your own course because, of course, based on your house, you need a custom course because every house is going to be a different shape.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
So how was that process, Tommy? Because I haven't done that yet.
So you unfold them, you set them up, and then you do like a... To set up the course that you're going to use, you get like a... You basically go into a thing where you go, I'm making the course now, and you get like Lakitu 2 appears on the screen and puts some paint on the wheels, and so you kind of do... You basically do a drive where you map out the course, and then it asks you if you're okay with that. And then from there, you can go into doing the... It's got like a standard Grand Prix mode that's got all the different cups that you would get from a Mario Kart game. Of course, here, the, you know, issue is that you are limited to just doing... Unless you've got a big enough house to kind of be moving the gates around and make different tracks every time, you are basically just doing the one course every time in that Grand Prix. But every quote-unquote track in the Grand Prix has different AR stuff that it's putting over your house to kind of make it feel a bit different. So one of them will be you're underwater and there's, you know, there's little, you know, fish floating around and, you know, various different obstacles. There's one that's like a desert. With wind blowing, so the cart will just kind of automatically drift by itself. It's getting blown by the wind that you kind of have to battle against. So it does do a fair bit to make each track feel a little more distinct with the little AR obstacles that are popping up. But, you know, you are just basically doing, especially if you live in a small enough apartment and you can't really, you know, you don't really have the space to mix it up and move the track around, you are basically just doing the same track three times in a row in the same cup. But I did find that it took me a couple of goes of going around that course to kind of get to grips with it, like kind of learning, you know, like putting some sharp turns and going like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get stuck in the couch. I'm gonna get stuck under the couch if I go too close around that corner. So you know, I kind of didn't mind it too much, but that is something to consider. I mean, it is something that is definitely more tailored to, you know, families / children in the fact that it is more of a toy than a game. And also, you know, who has the kind of space for this? Traditionally, a family with a big living room, you know. So it's definitely...
It seems like the best way to think of this is basically as the next Labo, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's
yeah.
a little yeah. toy that has maybe limited application, but the way the technology behind it is creative and cool.
Totally. Yeah. And it's, if you're a kid, like that was the main thing I wanted to emphasize while I was playing it. I was like, make a mental note of this. If you're a kid, this would blow your fucking mind. Like, this Absolutely. Would be an incredible toy to get. Like, for me as an adult, you know, like alone on a Tuesday night at 9 p.m. driving this thing around my apartment, it's like, oh, I'm impressed by the technology. But for a kid getting this on Christmas Day, this would blow your fucking mind. This, I think, is an incredible toy.
Yeah.
It's wild that this is where we're at in the world and technology.
Totally.
It's definitely a good toy. And I can attest to the fact that, like, yes, for a kid, mind-blowing. For an adult, opening it in front of their girlfriend and being like, yeah, Nintendo kind of sent us this, but they only sent us one, but this one I bought.
Yeah.
I don't,
yeah. It is, I mean.
It's a different experience.
It's a cool, it is a really cool, yeah, I want to emphasize that too. It is a really cool experience driving around your living room and, yeah, seeing this little, yeah, seeing all, you know, driving up and just seeing those. Three empty Uber Eats bags coming into frame as the cart drove up towards them. Like, it, you know, it is a really, it's a really impressive and really cool feeling. I don't know if either of you guys have had to do this, but I've got a...
Sorry. It's kind of funny, I think, to... I realized I said sorry as then to go on, but I meant, sorry, I'm going to say this, cunt.
Yeah.
Nah, I'll tell you later.
Oh! I'm not falling for this again.
Okay. It's like the kid version of this where it's like, yeah, I'll go around the Transformers and here's, you know, Barbie Canyon and da-da-da. But like the share house version of this toy could be incredibly depressing of like, here's driving past the Dinger Mountain.
Why was Dinger Mountain also the first thing I thought of?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess great minds think alike and so do medium ones like ours.
Yes. Yeah.
I have to do, I don't know if either of you guys have had to do this during lockdown. I've got to do a remote inspection.
I did one on my birthday and it was most depressing fucking thing I have ever done. Walking around house and taking stock alone on my birthday.
I was almost thinking like, man, I wonder if I could rig that up to this Mario Kart and just send that footage of a little Luigi driving around the apartment like,
that's
there you go,
great.
All the walls, the next are, fucking, there's no shit anywhere, there's, it's all clean.
The next Home Alone movie is going to be fantastic with the little Mario Kart segment.
Fuck. We should write the next Home Alone movie.
Just strap a nail gun to this thing. And.
Yes.
Fuck. And yeah, there is just one last little thing to say about it. There's, you know, you get coins in the races and you use them to unlock little bits of customize. You can customize how the cart and the character look on the screen. And you, through winning the Grand Prix, you unlock little parts that you can use when you're just making your own courses for free play to fuck around in. Like, you can, you know, the AR thing kind of, you know, recognizes the gates that you're driving through. So every course has them themed, so it, you know, it kind of puts these little things in your living room that make it look not just like a, you know, straight you know, photo of it. So yeah, there is, you know, there's little bits of things and slight progression to kind of, you know, unlock to, you know, incentivize you to kind of go through and get the cups. And you can unlock up to 200 cc speed. I've only gotten I still have it locked. It, you can't get, I can't, you can't go more than 100 when you first take it out of the box. I can't imagine what it would be like at 200 in this apartment. Maybe not quite big enough, but
it's weird that this is kind of the Mario Kart Maker, you know, like Mario Super Mario Maker. This is kind of that, and it's a really weird and interesting and clever way to do it, but it is. Again, from having put it on fucking charge, but watching some videos of it and like reading about what's in there, it is not disappointing, but you should be aware of the fact that it is relatively limited in scope.
It's
which
look,
to the imagination of a child is meaningless.
Sure. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I've had a fun time fucking around with it, but the main thing is it just has made me go, God damn, I would love a new fucking proper one of these games. But
it's been a fucking while now. Hey, 6 years since the last one.
Yeah.
Properly came out.
So, yeah, maybe we'll see. But, So let's chat some VR. So yeah, I bought the I didn't really know anything about the Oculus Quest at all until you were talking about it last week. In fact, people would have heard me mid episode go, wait, this thing's standalone. I just assumed it was for the I just had tuned out of reading anything about it because I thought, oh well, you know, I don't have a PC. So yeah, sounded cool. Looked into it and ordered one. It's a very reasonable price point for what it is, which is a, you know, pretty incredible piece of technology, all things considered.
It's a console, right? I think we said that last week. But you're paying about $429 or something like that, Australian. Totally. So it is the equivalent of just buying a PS4 or something.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Got it on Friday, and I am absolutely loving it. It feels great. It's so lightweight. The screen is all the things about PSVR that kind of limit me from using it more than I would like. It's, you know, you got to fuck around with all the cords and getting it out and setting up the camera and the Move controllers being a little, you know, always slipping out of the play area and everything is remedied by this. And it's just so easy to just chuck on for a 15-minute session and chuck it on, push the button, and you're just in the middle of a game. It's yeah, I'm absolutely loving it.
So you started playing a game that I did not realize you hadn't played the non-VR version, but it's a game that I started playing this week on my Quest 2. We've both been playing Superhot VR. Have you played Superhot in VR yet, Nox?
I did not like the not VR one, so I haven't. I've heard the VR one is better, but maybe I'm wrong about that even.
Yeah, I don't think it necessarily is. I think it's great. I think that its presentation is super cool. I like the aesthetic of it. And it being, melded into the VR aesthetic and the physical presentation of it, I think works really, really well. It's like this sort of old school, like you're running this program on DOS and it keeps, you know, dropping you in and out of it and stuff. I think it works great for VR. I'm finding it very hard. So in the original game, Tommy, who is the member of the show who did not play it, you move around. It's a first-person shooter, but as you move, time progresses. But basically, the controls are that of a first-person shooter. You move around with the joystick.
Yeah.
You look around with the other joystick. You're shooting, you're grabbing stuff, you're throwing shit. And but in VR...
And you have, importantly, the ability with a controller to effectively stop and think.
Yes. Yes. Or... Yeah. To easily move. So the thing with the VR version, this is the big difference, is that you don't move around, you don't walk around, you're always stuck in a static position, but time only moves when you do physically move. So you have to like flail your arms around if people are too far away to get them to move to, it's like it feels so dumb. And then it's like they're getting close to you and you're like, okay, now I dodge. And now I throw a punch, or now I pick up something. So it is kind of a different gameplay mechanic.
Yeah, it just sounds like you're fucking Unco, mate.
Well, look, to that, I am Unco because when you like pick shit up and throw it in VR, sometimes I miss.
I can't do it. Yeah, I can't do it.
It's hard.
Yeah,
I nail it every time.
You've never done it, cunt.
Nah, not with this, but I do it with everything else. And I always throw the pass exactly right, and I'm very good at makeout simulators. So
okay, right, okay. I hear you're pretty bad at going down simulator though. That's what
actually I'm even better at that. I'm even better at that. Actually, I'm even better at that.
Okay, wow. Geez.
Yeah,
all right.
You need to get good at that if you're really bad at staying hard simulator.
So what do you think of Superhot VR, Tommy?
Yeah, that what you were saying, it sort of almost feels more like a puzzle game than a shooter. Like the fact that you're in this one position and so all you really have to worry about is placement. Where is everyone?
Yeah.
Yep.
Do they have a gun or do they have a knife? And what's around me? What can I grab? What weapons can I grab? And how quickly am I going to be able to do that? And yeah, the fact of even like tilting your head and looking around makes time move slightly. It's like, so I finished it. I loved it. I enjoyed it so much, and it feels like such a perfect, I would be shocked if I hadn't have already known this when I went into it. I would be shocked to find out that it had been a non-VR game before it was a VR game. It feels so perfectly like that. That thing where you've got to flail your arms to make people move towards you, it does that a couple of times, but I didn't find it really did that all too much. There are a couple of segments where, yeah, someone who doesn't have a gun or whatever is, or you're not armed or whatever, they're like way down the end of a hallway and, yeah, you kind of, like, I literally would just like do this with my hands.
Oh,
like,
that's
yeah,
smart.
Speed it up, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Like the wrap it up kind of motion.
That's so funny that you can just bring them wiggle your hands a little bit in front of you, but Ben's choosing to spin around like the Sound of Music.
I was like, come here, come on, yeah. I'm beckoning. Like,
so yeah,
that's
very smart.
Yeah,
they're just far away from you, and you know, so you've got to basically take your pants down, get down on your back, and then like lean your head forward and attempt to suck your own dick in order to get these guys to come at you, so that you can then disarm them and take the gun.
I've been doing that when I play Half-Life Alyx as well. I think that's just, you know, an integral part of any VR game.
It's just that immersive.
But yeah, I think it's the feeling of these little kind of puzzle scenarios, and when you're pulling off a move where you've broken a bottle on someone's head, you've taken the shotgun out of their hand, and then you've, you know, shot someone on the other side of the room, and you're having to physically move your body bullet time style to dodge the bullets that are coming past you in slow motion. It just feels so cool. It's exactly what you want out of a VR experience, where it feels fully immersive and like you are actually in a different space and a different world. And I just think it's so fucking great. Yeah, almost maybe registered a bit better for me having not played the original. Because
I can say that.
I don't know why I never got around to it, but yeah, I'm not viewing it as a side thing or as a scaled down thing. It's just, yeah.
And Ben, you've played both. Do you remember if this is like the same levels as the original, or is this a new thing?
It's different. I also think like the sort of the hub stuff, you know, like where you stop and take a breather in between is different. It's definitely, I think, purpose-built for VR. Because I remember those early levels of being like, oh, you walk around here and sometimes you just like walk in a circle and then go and punch someone. But this, it is because you're stuck in a stationary position. It's more like a lot of short levels, at least, you know, what I played so far, like you pop into this bit in like a supermarket or like a shopping center. And so you like throw a thing on against one guy and then it goes, boom. All right. The next part, you teleport to somewhere else. So I think it's all structured differently. It's all different levels. It's all that slightly different mechanic. And I was really wowed or impressed, or I was into the aesthetic when I played the first original version. So I can understand someone playing this one for the first time and being a little bit more into it than perhaps I am, it being sort of the secondary experience. But it is great. If you've never played either version, I would say give it a shot. Regardless, it's just a fun, like you said, it's like a first person puzzle game. It's crazy.
Reaching down and picking up two shotguns on either side and, you know, shooting people who are coming at me on the left and right at the same time, and then Ducky, you just feel cool. I was just hooked immediately.
Yeah. I reckon you'd probably look cool too.
Yes.
When you said here we go, I felt like fucking Trevor Marmalade piping up. I'm going to keep my fucking mouth shut from now on.
I also started and finished something in the last couple of days called A Fisherman's Tale, which is a little puzzle game where you are you're a little man in a lighthouse. You're a fisherman in a lighthouse, and you're in your living room. In the middle of the living room, you have a model diorama of the lighthouse that you're in. It's a perfect replica, and you take the roof off and you look in, and there's a little version of you walking around in there that's mimicking your movements, and then you look up and the lighthouse that you're in has no roof on it, and there's a giant version of you kind of peering in. So it's just basically a little puzzle game where you have to, you know, it'll basically be, oh, you know, you need to, this key or what, like first, the first puzzle you solve is there's a big anchor blocking your door so you can't get out. Can't move it. It's too heavy. So you go to the diorama, you pull the little version of it out of there, and then it's disappeared from the one that you're in and you can go through. It's all kind of stuff like that.
Right.
And it's, yeah, it's not super long, but it does so many cool creative things that, again, in VR, just seeing like a huge version of like your little character, like looking back at you, is just a really great, it's like the, you know, it's like a Michelle Gondry film. It's such a neat use of VR. It's they're not the most intricate puzzles, but it's the sort of thing that just would not have the same appeal or impact outside of VR. It's such a great use of, you know, just how impressive that feels to.
That's cool.
Yeah, get this this true sense of scale of the world that you're in.
You recommended we play this, Tommy, and I kept looking for the little man in the boat, and I just couldn't find him. So I couldn't play this game.
Oh, well, I actually am good at finding that. I've played simulators where I actually have learned how to do that, so don't even worry about it, actually. It's not even that hard, and you're just fucking lame, dude.
But yeah, I would really recommend this to anyone who's got a VR headset. Yeah, there's a bit where, yeah, you're sailing around, you're out on the ocean in a boat, and it I just had this, there's so many moments in it that I just realized I had a big smile on my face as I was. It's very like, it's quite like, it's kind of Pixar-y. It's pretty, you know, it's a little twee. It's French. It's very, yeah, it's very cute. It's, yeah, not super long, but it's nice little story and, yeah, lots of nice little twists and interesting little bits of presentation. In there
that sounds good. A puzzle game in VR. So I played a bit of The Room VR, which is like The Room is, they were mobile games originally, I think, and I really liked them.
Yeah, just, you've mentioned them a few times on this show, yeah.
They're great. Little puzzle boxes that you fuck with to, you know, figure out where the button is to push to make this flap move up to, and I could do that, I'll tell you what.
Mate.
But like, you spin it around and you look for codes and numbers and dials and you're trying to open a puzzle box. And this is a VR version of that. It's cool.
Right.
If you like those ones on mobile, I think the first one is like $2 or something. So if you like the first one, you'll like the rest of them type of thing. This is like I think it was full price or something. And the other thing, I don't think there's much more to say on that one. It's pretty straightforward.
I've downloaded because there's a heap of escape room games in VR. There's a bunch. Because of I hooked up my Oculus to my PC and I got a virtual desktop thing going and I can play Steam VR games on it now. It's a game called Abode, which I haven't started yet, but it was like super cheap and yeah, it's a room escape game. It seems like a really logical thing for VR as a puzzler.
And being able to move a three-dimensional object around in your hand adds a lot to that type of puzzle game. The other thing that I did is like basically the opposite, where it's more like with the super hot VR thing, kind of improving elements of an existing game. There is a VR mod, and I don't remember if I've talked about this a bit before, because I had given it a crack a few weeks ago, but played a bit more of there's a VR mod for GTA 5. Which is fucking cool as shit. It doesn't fully work all of the time properly. Like, it is a mod. It's hacked in. So when you're in third person, it can feel a little bit weird because the UI will start to disappear if you look wrong. It can lose track of it. But in the first person mode that you can do in GTA 5, it's really fucking awesome. You just use the controller to move around, but the sense of scale that it gives you in that city. And like, if you're driving fast on a motorbike in VR, that's cool as shit.
Yeah,
getting in a blimp and flying up real high and then jumping out, turning a fan on in your face in real life, and then leaping off of your balcony to finally end it all. It's a nice way to do it.
Yeah, it sounds like it works really, really seamlessly.
Yeah, dude, it feels real. It's expensive after you go to the hospital, but it's fun. I've been enjoying messing with that, and I want to do more of that sort of stuff, like getting into, there's someone who's trying to hack BioShock into Half-Life Alyx. There's all sorts of VR mods that I are appealing to me.
Yeah, and someone brought this up on our Patreon Facebook group. With the Quest, you can do, there's something called Side Quest. It's basically a side loader. It exists for developers, but you can, pop that on your headset. And it's not like piracy stuff. It's basically people have made games for the Quest and submitted them to the Quest store, and they've been rejected for various reasons. Usually it's like graphical quality. Sometimes there's just general quality issues, you know, but I guess Quest / Facebook want to preserve an integrity of quality of their store. It's kind of like Nintendo.
It's like Apple, because you can like sideload things onto iPhones as well with the same thing, where it's technically not what you're meant to do, but you can do it.
Yes, and if you don't pirate any games, then it's fine. It's not legal. Don't pirate any games. We're certainly not endorsing that. But I've done side quest on mine, and it allows you to load on these games for free by these creators who didn't get to put them on the Quest store. And there's fucking heaps. There's heaps of them. There's a lot of fun sort of like sci-fi shooters and multiplayer games and interesting sort of. It's basically the indie scene for VR, which is is very cool. It's mostly free, which is kind of crazy. So I've been doing a bit of that. But like I said, a bit more PC VR stuff. I've hooked my Quest 2 to my computer. I just used an existing USB cable that I own. I think it was the one that came with my Elgato capture card. So it was just USB-C to USB-A. Just plugged it into my PC, got it all set up. I've played Thumper VR. Through Steam, which is a really, really fun, really cool game. Rhythm game in VR, which, I mean, that's the other thing that is sort of dominates VR is those rhythm games, your Beat Sabers and your synth somethings. But doing that, the first thing that I did with it was I played Half-Life Alyx, and it's fucking incredible.
It's like, so good, hey.
It's really, really fun. I don't think... It's been so long since I played a Valve game.
I was going to say. Before you go much further in this, maybe because I know you're not going to play through all the Half-Life 2 games, maybe go and have a bit of a watch of like the key story beats of those.
I don't think I mean, if I played Half-Life 2, I played it when it came out and never since. So it's pretty much not in my brain. But Valve have such a great, polished, cohesive storytelling style and a way of creating genuine tension that is just heightened by VR. Like it melds that style so well with VR. And it, you mentioned, horror games being scary in VR. And this isn't necessarily a horror game. It's probably closer to like The Last of Us than Resident Evil, which is still kind of spooky and tense, but there's no jump scares or anything. But what it is doing is great and tense, and I forget that I'm in a VR thing and I start accidentally brushing into my couch, like it's so immersive.
That there's one segment that I don't think you're up to yet because you're still relatively early on, I think.
Yeah.
That is one of the scariest things I've ever done.
Ooh.
As in not scary as in boo, scary as in tense, like you're saying.
But right.
The way that Valve as well, and it's great for something that involves a new technology with new control methods, they're able to slowly demonstrate to you how to use it without it being too in your fucking face, here's a pop-up, push X to do this. They will show you and force you into, without you noticing, using the techniques that they want you to learn. And it works really fucking well for a VR game.
Totally. It's like there's some very overt stuff at the start of like, this is how you use the gravity gloves and stuff like that. But after a while, it's like, oh, you pick this thing up and then it's like, hey, you pop this thing in there. And so you just sort of do it as you naturally would. And it's like, that it works. That's how it's almost a one-to-one thing of like introducing you to mechanics by just, encouraging you to do them. But the writing's great. Rhys Darby is a fun sort of offsider. He's sort of your portal robot offsider, except he's a guy. He's a quirky guy.
Guy in your ear, radio guy.
It's great. A noticeable jump in quality of like even the menu, interfaces, shit like that. Like, text effect. Like it's just a AAA title that happens to be VR.
Pointless little things of like adding in markers and stuff that you can draw on windows with and like... shaking up bottles and that sort of stuff is
cool. So it's great. It's the best VR thing I've played, alongside probably like Beat Saber, which is the Tetris of VR. It just is so fun and intuitive and a good way to stand up and get some exercise every day.
VR's cool as shit, dude.
playing that on the Quest, you know, downloading it again, like paying for it again, even though I've got it on the PlayStation, and just, yeah, just using the using those Oculus controllers and not the Move controllers, which are relying on the camera, which are, like, I always had real problems with. Like, I don't think I – not often not too – you know, not to the where it, like, made it unplayable, but just, like, once or twice per round, just a movement just not registering. But with these, they're just – they're flawless. They're so – yeah, they're perfect. I mean, in that, that's kind of the only thing that's a little bit annoying about the Oculus Quest 2 is that it looks so good. And I love using it, but, you know, I want to go back and play more Astrobot, and I want to play Resident Evil 7 in VR, and I don't really want to go back to using the PS VR headset after using this, because it's, you know, it'll feel like such a step back, which, you know, it is.
There's likely
sure they're
a
cooking
second...
up a new one for 5. But
yeah, exactly.
I reckon, yeah, that's a good point. I feel like... if I didn't have a PC and didn't know that I had a Steam library to slowly pick through and a bunch of specials and stuff on there to try, there is a chance that I would feel maybe that the games library of the Quest is a little limited. It's not small. There's a shit ton of stuff on there, and there's like media apps and, you know, there's 360 video experiences and stuff like that. There's a lot on there. But as someone who does probably... my appetites for VR are like a Beat Saber style rhythm puzzle game, you know, slash thingy, or a significant single player narrative experience. I feel like it's the best situation there is to have a Quest or any VR headset and a PC.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just got to go in knowing like this is not going to be like having a PlayStation 4. There's not a huge games library.
I would honestly say if you had nothing, which isn't probably the case for anyone listening to or many people listening to this, but it would be a PC with whatever headset. There's a lot of good options. Then for me, the PS4 and a PSVR comes under that because you've got that huge library of all sorts of games.
Yeah.
And I still don't think the headset is that bad. You know, I've got a wired PC VR headset, so it's not as different for me. But and then I would put this Quest thing exactly as you're saying, because the hardware sounds great, but the library on the Oculus store on just the Oculus thing that I have is limited-ish.
There is a lot of good stuff. I did a bit of a because I finished a couple of things that I said before, and last night I was kind of looking through some lists of like best things that recommended and downloaded a couple of new things today. But the problem is that they are all what, like $40 to $50 Australian dollars for these experiences that are a few hours. So relative to the amount of time that you would get out of a game on a console, if money is an issue and you don't have it and you're getting this because it's the cheaper option, it's maybe not the best thing for you because, there's enough good stuff on there, but you're just going to be sinking a lot of money in, you know what I mean, you compared to what you would spend on games on an actual console.
Sure.
There's a fair disparity there at the moment.
You've got to be a huge fan of Beat Saber, which I am. I'm lucky that I am. Which also I should mention, as of like a week ago, it has online multiplayer, which I've been jumping in on and is really, really fun. I've just been going in, quick play, you pick your difficulty level, and I've just been choosing, built-in courses. And then, it sort of matches you up with four other people. And then it just sort of puts you all in like a big, like massive void of an arena. And you can sort of see as people drop out, if they fail a course, you see people's scores sort of as you look up around into the corners. And it's a really, really fun experience. It's just a good way to extend the lifespan of it. Get a little competition in there. You can do matches by friend codes, I think. Is maybe weirdly the way they do it, or if you've added, I guess, friends through the Oculus like store/ interface, which I haven't. I don't know. Maybe we should do some Beat Saber multiplayer through our Patreon group.
I've still never played it as well. So
oh man, it's so fun! It's really fun.
At some point,
it's really good.
It's
Well, we better wrap it up there for this week. Yeah, we'll have more for you next week. I'll talk a little bit more about the things that I've downloaded today. Guys, head to filthycasuals.com.au. You can get the links to our social medias, the Patreon, where you can get a bonus episode every week, the Bandcamp episodes, the premium episodes that we do. Check them out. Head to our YouTube channel and watch our Let's Plays and stuff that we've done, our sketches that we've got on there as well.
Yeah, our full PAX panel that we did this year for PAX Online. It's like an hour long. You can watch it there. Get around it.
Yep. Check all that stuff out. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
I've also been playing a lot of Big Dick Simulator, and it's actually not that realistic. I don't think having a big dick is pretty different to how this game portrays it. Because I've got one.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.